Live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. Around the world, the trip begins with a roam if you want to, roam around the world. Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
Welcome aboard Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Hope you're having a wonderful weekend wherever you happen to be. You like 108 degrees? No, that's not latitude or longitude. I'll get to that in a second. We're at 36 degrees, 5 minutes north, 115 degrees, 10 minutes west, and now we'll get to the 108 degrees. We're at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, Nevada. I know, it's a dry heat. You buying that? Okay, good. And we're taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. I gather that I've probably been to Las Vegas about 200 times, either as a correspondent for Newsweek or for NBC or ABC or CBS. As you can see, I can't hold a job. Or for this radio show, we've probably done, I'm looking over at our engineer Joe Sands, we've done either 10 or 12 shows from Las Vegas in the last couple of years because it's almost so easy and so much fun to come here. But I'm going to share with you a little story about one of the very first times I came to Caesar's Palace. I was working for Newsweek, and if you remember the movie Casino, that really was a true story about Lefty Rosenthal and Tony the Ant Spilotro, and played by Joe Pesci in the movie. And I was here covering all the people who were getting whacked in the desert, and I was sent here to work with the FBI's Organized Crime Strike Force. You may remember in the movie where the FBI ran out of gas and landed on the golf course. I was actually in the office of that person shown in that movie. His name was Alan Glick, who then was running the Hacienda, the Fremont, and the Stardust. I was in his office when that plane landed. It was the most bizarre stuff. So watching that movie to me was like, whoa. So here I was with no reservation, just coming in, and I figured, okay, I'll just get a room for the evening. So where do I get a room the first time I'm here covering organized crime in Las Vegas? Caesar's Palace. And I gave them my credit card, and I walked to my room. I was so tired by the time I got there. It was like midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. I'd been working all day. All I did was open the door, and I was convinced that since the organized crime guys knew I was in town, I was going to get whacked. So what I tried to do was, once I closed the door, I tried to move all the furniture against the door. And then I realized I couldn't do it because all the furniture was bolted into the walls here. That's the way it was in those days. I couldn't move anything against the door. So then I figured, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go to bed and just turn out all the lights and hope that nobody comes in. So I locked the door. It was a circular bed. And yes, I was by myself. And I got under the covers and turned out all the lights, and I went to sleep. And about, it must have been an hour and a half later, I sort of like was startled awake. I was convinced that someone was in the room, and they were watching me, and they were about to attack. And I sleep in the nude, and I'm under the covers. I figure, oh, I'm the most vulnerable I could possibly be. But the one thing I've got at my disposal is they don't know I'm awake because the lights are out. So what I'm going to do is, I'm just going to figure out where the light switch is on the bed, right by the nightstand. And in one fell swoop, I'm going to hit the light switch and do my ninja routine and kind of go, ha! So I counted down to myself quietly, 3, 2, 1, ran over, hit the light switch, went, ha! And scared the you-know-what out of myself. You know why? Because above the bed was a full mirror. I was looking at myself. That's who was watching me. It was me. That was the last time I ever booked the circular bed with the mirror in the room. Sorry, guys. I don't care what any sexual fantasies you have are. That was as close as I came to having a heart attack, looking at myself naked at 2 in the morning, about to die. Okay, we've solved that problem. Let's go on to your emails. We've got one from, obviously, times have changed in Caesar's Palace, but that memory lives with me forever. Gina from Honolulu writes, I'll be flying to Australia and New Zealand for about 15 days in September or October. I'm contemplating getting travel insurance for about $350, which is about 6% of the tour price. Would you consider travel insurance for this trip? Well, if $350 is 6% of the tour price, that tour price is about $5,800. The answer is, yes, I would, if it's appropriately called trip cancellation and interruption policy. And in many cases, that insurance can go up to about 12% as a policy premium of the cost of the tour. So if it's only 6% and it really covers you for cancellation and interruption, great. But you have to read the fine print, because a lot of trip cancellation and interruption policies only cover you if the tour operator cancels. What about if you cancel? So check out the policy. There are some policies that are offered that do it, that'll cover you for any reason whatsoever. There's one offered by Access America, but I think that policy premium is about 12%. It all depends on what your own personal situation is, what your medical situation is, or the people that you're traveling with, or the financial situation of the travel provider itself. Because remember, if they go out of business, unless you paid with a credit card, you are SOL. So, and by the way, if they go out of business more than 60 days after you paid with your credit card, you're also SOL. The Federal Credit Act protects you for anything that you buy of a good or service nature that you contract for within 60 days of the actual purchase price, not the travel departure day price, the purchase date that of the actual item. So double check your insurance policy. But then again, if you're going to invest a $59 ticket on Southwest Airlines, you probably don't need the insurance. $5,900 for a tour, you probably do. So check that out. Now, that doesn't include the other item up for bids here on The Price is Right, and that's medical evacuation and repatriation insurance, which I also highly recommend. I carry that card. There are a number of good companies that offer it. One is called MedJet Assist. Travel Guard offers it as well, but you also have to read the fine print. In my case with MedJet Assist, if I get injured or sick anywhere in the world and I invoke this card, they will send a medically equipped jet to pick me up and repatriate me, evacuate me and repatriate me to the medical facility and doctor of my choice. Now, there are a lot of other policies out there that will repatriate you to the medical facility and doctor of their choice, and you end up at a bad HMO in Rwanda. This is not what you want. You don't want to be the victim of the lowest bidder auction for medical care. So make sure that you get a policy either by MedJet Assist or Travel Guard that offers you that option, which is really your option, of the medical facility and doctor of your choice. It is that essential. Again, you buy a $59 ticket on Southwest, you don't use the ticket, throw it out. $5,900, that's a sizable investment. Please do it. I would do it. I mean, it's a no-brainer, okay? But you have to read the fine print. When we come back, we're going to be talking to our good friend Sean O'Neill, who's the blog editor for budgettravel.com, and answering a lot more of your questions. Indeed, there are so many questions to answer these days, because the base price of your cruise, the base price of your airline ticket, is not what you're going to pay. It's basically the price that gets you to actually hit that keystroke on the internet. But you know what? After that, it's ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. It's all ancillary revenue. And in many cases now, that ancillary revenue will represent an additional 27% of what you were initially quoted. You need to budget for that. Otherwise, you'll be mortgaging a whole lot more than you thought you would. So when we come back, we'll talk to Sean about that, including the fact that passport fees have gone up. Remember I told you to get a passport? Well, you still need to get a passport, but the fees have gone up. You better move fast. Back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide from Caesars Palace in Las Vegas, Nevada.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Travel question or comment? Need advice? Jump on board now by calling the show at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
18 minutes after the hour. Hope you're having a wonderful weekend wherever you happen to be. We are coming to you from Guy Savoy's restaurant, the legendary Guy Savoy. Whether you're in Paris or Las Vegas, you're in for an experience. Trust me. Just come prepared. You won't believe it. This is not fast food, folks. This is food followed by food followed by food. And then don't forget food. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem so we can solve it right here on the air. One more thing I want to share with you, and that's this. Please go to our website, which has the most imaginative name ever, petergreenberg.com, because we have a comprehensive list there of all the relief and aid organizations doing all the essential work in Haiti, in Chile, in Western China, and of course now in the Gulf. I don't care whether it's on the front page of the evening news or the newspaper. It isn't these days. It is on our front page, and there are so many different ways you can get involved. Even if you don't think you have anything to offer, you do. Even the ASPCA, even the Audubon Society. I mean, they're actually asking people to help track bird migration differentialities now in the Gulf to see what's going on because of the oil. It all is contributing to good things and necessary things, and not short-term either. We're talking long-term. So check out the website, petergreenberg.com, for that list. Print it up. And then see what you can do other than just donating money. We're talking time, expertise, intelligence, and goodwill. This is not going to go away anytime soon. In Haiti alone, the rebuilding effort's going to be a generation. So we're going to stay on this story. We want you to as well. It's the best gift you can not only give anybody else. Volunteer vacations are the best gift you can give yourself. It just keeps giving. So please remember that. Here's a question for you. What's the best travel website you've never heard of? Well, we're going to answer that because joining us now, our good friend from budgettravel.com, Sean O'Neill. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Peter. How you doing?
All right. So stump me. I mean, I know a lot of great websites. We have Johnny Jett on the show all the time. He's always telling us websites we didn't know about or iPhone apps that we didn't even know existed. You've got a new one today.
I do. I mean, Johnny Jett is the best, but I think I may have trumped him on this one. It's called trustyou.com, trust, Y-O-U. It's a new German site. It's been in testing in Europe for the past couple of years, and it's just debuted in the U.S. Now, your listeners have surely heard of TripAdvisor, you know, the giant of user-generated hotel reviews. But that site makes it very difficult to wade through the hundreds and hundreds of opinions of other folks about hotels, and these other people may judge hotels differently than you do. So this new site, Trust You, allows you to filter reviews on TripAdvisor and on all the other kinds of hotel review sites that are out there, on Expedia, on TravelPost.com, Yahoo. So what this means is you can find reviews that are relevant to you. For example, you type in into a little box that looks like something you'd use on Google or Bing, type in family-friendly hotel, San Antonio, let's say, and it will zoom in on all the reviews of hotels that have keywords that are like family-friendly in San Antonio. So it helps you, you know, find the reviews that are going to zero in on what's most useful for you.
Wow. So basically they developed an algorithm somehow within that system to look for those keywords.
Yeah, exactly. And it's sophisticated in a different way. Google can't do it. It's a different kind of algorithm. So that's exactly right, Peter.
See, now I thought trustyou.com was what I said to women on our first date. Oh, no, excuse me. That's trustme.com. How silly of me. And you know what their website is? Noway.com. So we're even. It's okay. Hey, let's
You're
talk about something.
You're there all week, Peter.
Yeah, try the veal. Hey, we are actually, you know, we've been yelling and screaming about this for weeks on the show, and no reason why we shouldn't yell and scream a little more about this. When we have only 26% of Americans who have passports, which is embarrassing enough, and that's up about 2 percentage points from 2 years ago because they changed the rules. Now you need one from Mexico or Canada. So that 2% really represents, if we're being honest, interstate truckers who just needed it to do their long-haul trucking, not real travelers. We're still an embarrassment to the rest of the world when it comes to how many people have passports. Up until recently, the passport was about $100 for 10 years, or $97 actually. So it was an investment of $9.70 a year to give yourself the option to see the world. How ridiculously inexpensive is that? Okay, they've gone up. And they've gone up to what, Sean?
They've gone up by another $45. So, I mean, you know, the very basic passport you could possibly get is cheap at $110, but it goes up from there depending on what you're doing. And it's it's hard for me to imagine the paperwork and the processing cost that much. I mean, the government agency, the government accounting offices has tried to investigate, and, you know, there's competing claims. But I agree with you. It's definitely still worth it on a per-year basis, but we definitely need to keep our eye as taxpayers to make sure that they're spending their money wisely.
Well, listen, I'm sure that the $145 they're going to charge you for a passport goes to things like, let's think, receptacles to hold all the water you brought on the plane that you can't go through security with. Things like that.
Yeah, things like
that. The tweezer collection at the airport. The famous,
and it's so important to get people out traveling. I mean, it really changes your perspective. And this includes you need a passport now, you're getting to Mexico or Canada. So
that's right. We talked about that. Here's the thing, though. Even at $145 for a 10-year passport, all right, that's $14.50 a year to see the world. Come on. What are you waiting for?
It's a great value. It's a great value. And it changes your whole perspective on things. It changes your perspective on America when you come back. You don't take certain things for granted.
But now let me get really angry. The one five-letter word that I hate, which I'm going to tell you, I really hate it. There are a couple of five-letter words I hate. Here's one of them, and they both relate to travel. One five-letter word I hate when it comes to travel is plans. Because anybody tells me that they can't go somewhere because they have plans, they're not going to see the important stuff in the world because they're being trapped by those plans. And let's face it, the best experiences you've ever had in your life happened when your plans didn't work out. That's the first five-letter word I hate. But the second five-letter word I hate, which really pertains to the passport, I can't tell you how many of my friends when I tell them, what do you mean? You don't have a passport? Go get one. Okay, here comes the five-letter word, right? They say, all right, I'll get it later.
Later.
Later means never.
Later means never.
It means never. Right? I mean, anytime you use the word later in a sentence, you either don't do it as well or you don't do it at all. And when I say goodbye to somebody, I don't say I'll see you later. That means I'll never see you. I say I'll see you soon.
So true. It's so true. You have to seize the day. And I mean, there's always a reason to put it off. There's always, you know, if it's the recession is one thing. And then when the economy is really good, you know, the boss just doesn't want to leave you to let go from your job, to take the vacation. There's always an excuse. But you never regret it. People, even scientific surveys have found that people, one of the highlights of their life is the vacations that they take.
Well, I go back to my early days, and I thank my parents for this because they managed to figure out the word finesse when it came to school and never letting school interfere with my education. They came up with three words that were the magic words. When I heard them, I knew I got to leave school and see the world. You ready for the three words?
I am.
Extra credit assignment. They would go to the teachers and say, Peter's going to be out for a week, but he'll do a special report on Rome. And guess what? I got to check out and go to Rome, and I wrote a special credit assignment for it, or an extra credit assignment for it, and everything worked out just fine.
And I bet when you were studying ancient Rome or studying things in school, it was more alive and more compelling to you when it was something that you actually got to experience. What a gift your parents gave you!
They really did. And by the way, I should tell you this, Sean. My mother passed away about 7 years ago, and she's one of those women who kept everything. When we were going through her possessions, we even found like her copies of her 1951. Tax returns because she kept them just in case.
Right.
Well, guess what she did keep? She kept all the records of our very first trip as a family to Europe when I was 12 years old. And what I found in that file drawer was every hotel room key, every bill, every itinerary written on, typed on onion skin paper with a manual typewriter, every original Michelin guide, everything, all the photographs. So next summer in the year 2011, I am going to recreate that trip.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love it.
And not only recreate the trip, but we checked. All the hotels are still there.
Wow.
So we can price comparison, experience comparison, everything.
Wow.
So,
they talk about those watch commercials where you pass it on to another generation, but that's travel can really, you know, it's an occasion for you to have all these great memories and everything. That's really a great tribute to your mom. You know?
And the bottom line is, I'm going to use that as another excuse as an extra credit assignment. That's what I'm telling CBS. You think they'll let me off? I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, you can read more about this, of course, all the time in budgettravel.com. Our guest, our regular on the show, Sean O'Neill, who, of course, is a dual national. He has both passports. He has United States and Irish, and he's proud about both. Right, Sean?
That's right, sir.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. When we come back, we're going to talk about, well, beating the bank, breaking the bank, surviving Las Vegas in ways that you didn't know when we asked one of the locals. We'll be back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide right after this.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now. So call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour, coming to you from the Guy Savoy restaurant inside Caesar's Palace. A huge complex just getting bigger by the hour here in Las Vegas. I stopped counting at, I think, about 24 pools. You get to pick the one you like. And then if you don't like it, you pick another one. It's you just keep going. But in this segment, we love to talk about asking the locals. This guy is local. He's lived here since 1979. But the cool thing is he's probably one of the most widely recognized and quoted sources on the Las Vegas you didn't know about. In fact, he's the author of a book called Bargain City, Booking, Betting, and Beating. I like that part. The New Las Vegas. His name, Anthony Curtis. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Now, you've been here since 1979. You've seen all the changes. I mean, it's remarkable. And yeah. I've been coming here since before then, so it's even more remarkable for me. Vegas has been taking a beating the last two or three years, obviously because of the economy. The convention business getting a beating. It's definitely still a buyer's market. You can get rooms here for, like, hardly anything.
Right.
With all sorts of extra resort credits thrown in. What's the biggest surprise right now just for you here in Las Vegas?
Actually, I'm not surprised by anything. I mean, you know, with what happened...
Can I quote you? You're not surprised by anything.
I'm not, because, okay. I've been here, as you say, since 79. I've seen both. I've seen the old Vegas, and I saw the big change of the guard, which was, you know, November 1989 when they threw...
The corporations.
Yeah, they threw the door open to the Mirage, really. And, I mean, that was the big game changer, because that was the one-stop destination, and Steve Wynn was right. And everybody wanted to do the same thing. The thing was, though, Las Vegas was a town built on basically on a big mousetrap. You know, get you in, the cheese was the bargains and all, and they snap you off in the casino. Then it changed. It began to change. They had to make money everywhere. They had to make money.
Non-gaming.
Yeah, exactly. They had to make it on the celebrity chefs, and they had to make it on the retail, and they had to make it on the shows.
Well, the thing that to me it was the real turning point, and I don't think most people listening to the show even realize this, that today Vegas makes more money from non-gaming
right.
than they make from gaming.
Right, but it also made them vulnerable. You know, so it opened them up to market conditions and the economy. So now I can't say I saw it coming. Nobody did. I mean,
right.
you know, the Fed didn't see it coming. But you could see that Vegas, if it was going to get bad, they weren't going to be so resilient this time.
So, when I talk to all the chefs that I know here, what they're telling me is they're still selling their dinners. They're still filling the restaurants, but people aren't buying the $400 bottles of wine. They're buying the $50 bottles of wine.
Yeah, pretty much. I think what you're seeing in Las Vegas is that the middle market is what sort of disappeared. The low-end market continues to come, basically in droves, because the values...
Because they can.
Yeah, the values are here for them. And the high-end continues to come and do what they always did. But this middle to low-high is the one that's out hibernating right now and waiting and stashing their money away.
Now, in looking at your bio, of course, I could not overlook this. Your previous life as a professional gambler.
Right.
Have you stopped?
Yeah, sort of. I'm actually kind of too well known now. I mean, I came to town to do that specifically. And
were you a card counter?
Among other things, yes.
So that you can't go down to this casino right now and play cards?
No, not allowed. Did you see the movie 21?
Oh yeah.
Okay, that's what I did.
I know.
I know all those guys.
Sure.
None of them are white. They're all Asian.
Exactly, except for you.
I didn't play with them. I played on a parallel team, and I did play at times with them in the same casino. We all knew each other, and we would try to split up the prize.
And did you win?
I funded my publishing company off of my winnings, and others went into other businesses and things. We did very well.
So the cool thing was you did it, and then you got out.
I did get out. You know, I mean, in a way I was forced to, because I became too well known. I won some high profile tournaments and things, and that will get you off the streets pretty fast. But I also had a plan to publish later on. So I kind of wanted to, that was the next logical step. So it was a good thing to do.
You were also consultant on a movie called Ocean's 13.
I wasn't quite a consultant on that. What they did is they incorporated me after the movie had been shot. They brought me in after the fact to ask me about all the things that they'd already done.
To make sure they didn't screw up.
It was the weirdest thing that I've been involved with, you know, and everyone goes, wow, you worked on Ocean's 13 and you met all these people. And I said, no, I sat in a room up in the Palms and I talked about what they'd done right and wrong.
What's the biggest mistake first time people make when they come here?
Probably you're talking about gambling wise or just altogether?
Just visitors.
Visitors, they don't prepare at all. And I heard what you said. You don't have to have plans. You know, plans are not a good thing. I agree. But you've got to realize that the place you're going to isn't the only place in Las Vegas. So if you're going to Caesars or you're going to Mandalay Bay or wherever you're going, it's only one of many that are within walking distance. So you need to do a little bit of preparation. You need to read a little bit.
And not only that, you need to make sure that you wear a watch. Only because people are not aware of time here. Then you won't find a single clock in a casino. And the point is, if you have medication you need to take, if you have calls you have to make, you completely lose track of time.
Well, I always thought it would be great. Someday I would give Peter Greenberg a tip. All right?
And here, I'm ready.
Here it is. There's two places you can always find a clock. One is look into the blackjack pit because they have timestamp machines in there and you can always see what time it is. The other is go to the sports book and it's usually right on the wall because they don't want to be pass posted on games.
So you can always tell the correct time when you're about to bet on the wrong team.
Exactly.
See, there's your tip of the day. The name of the book, it is Bargain City, Booking, Betting, and Beating the New Las Vegas. Very cool book. And the thing is, it is the new Las Vegas. It's corporate.
Yeah, it's changed. I mean, it's changed completely. A lot of the old, if you want to see the old Las Vegas, you either go downtown or you go around the perimeter, or, you know, the outliers, what they call the locals casinos.
Or you drive out near Nellis Air Force Base and stop at the pawn shops.
Oh, yeah.
See, now that part even I know.
Or watch Pawn Stars, you know, I don't know.
Do your own pawn shopping out by Nellis Air Force Base. You'll see it all. All right. Anthony Curtis, thanks for stopping by. And if you're sitting next to me tonight at the blackjack table, we'll both get thrown out, I think. Okay.
Sounds good.
When we come back, we're going to be talking about food. Oh, my God. But a different kind of food. We're talking great gourmet burgers. Back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide from Caesar's Palace right after this.
Call now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Continental Airlines. With over 260 destinations in more than 50 countries, Continental makes it easy to create your own worldwide tour. Continental Airlines. Work hard. Fly right.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
43 minutes after the hour, coming to you from the Guy Savoy restaurant inside Caesar's Palace here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem so we can solve it right here on the air. My next guest, a regular on our show, and he's sort of like gets outside the box and pushes the envelope with us every time he's on, which we love. His title, of course, is president and CEO for a small little hotel company called Ritz-Carlton, and his name, Simon Cooper. Hey, Simon.
Hey, Peter. How you doing?
Good. Where are you calling from today?
Well, actually, I'm back in Washington, D.C. today.
Oh, my God. You're actually back at home. You're never at home.
I'm back at home. This is amazing. And I have some had some great travels and a couple of I actually took a holiday last week in France. I have a little place in a very small little village. And the talk of the town, Peter, was that we installed two dispensing machines. One was our first cash machine in the village, and the other one was our first condom machine outside the pharmacy.
Are they standing next to each other?
And a truck pulled up to the back of one of the machines and took it away and stole everything. I'll let you guess which machine, the cash or the condoms.
Love that story. All right,
it was
so somebody,
the cash
somebody,
machine. They
it was,
backed
of
up,
course.
Took the whole thing. It was,
so
it
now
was wonderful. But
so
France
now
is all talking about Sarkozy and Betancourt, and it was just a great week.
So now there's a condom machine and one lonely guy with a baguette.
You've got it right. And they've got to try to rebuild this cash machine so that the stealers won't be able to get it. But the other thing I was looking at, did you see that Vision Air plane
that flew the
Russian spies to Vienna?
I'd never even seen that plane before.
Have you ever heard of Vision Air?
Never.
Okay. Well, I was interested because I think I've flown everybody. But they actually are from Las Vegas and started with the Grand Canyon tours, have a couple of these planes. They mostly do casino work and flying groups into casinos, Biloxi and these sort of places. But they have one offshore destination, which is their largest destination. It's a Caribbean island. Can you guess which one it is?
If it's a Caribbean island, I would say, I'm going to just take a really wild guess because I'm thinking gambling. Maybe either what, Anguilla?
You actually won't guess, because this is an American airline, but they list four destinations in Cuba for their charter flights.
Wow.
So I thought it was kind of neat and interesting.
And they're the guys who flew the Russian spies back to Moscow, or actually to Vienna,
they're
right?
The ones, well, no, they flew them to Vienna for the switch.
Yeah.
If you saw the picture in the newspaper, there was the Visionaire, and the other side was obviously an Aleutian. You could tell it was one of the elderly Russian planes.
It was the old Vienna, but it was interesting.
I want to know who these Visionaire guys were.
I'm glad you enlightened us on it. So now, basically, if I get on Visionaire, I'm either going to Vienna or Cuba or a junket to Las Vegas.
Well, if you're going to Vienna, you're in transit to Moscow. had a great trip through Asia. A couple of things I got from there. Shanghai, the expo, is just very popular with the Chinese. I was there on the weekend. They set an attendance record of 505,000 people for the day.
Whoa.
Can you imagine that?
I can.
I've also determined that the absolute best security screening in the world is still Japan.
Tell me why.
Well, they are all so neat, white-gloved. I mean, you know, and if you actually leave a bottle in your bag, they actually feel bad for you. They apologize that they found it, you know. And what would you like us to do with it? Just terrific. I mean, they are so polite and so good in terms of their hospitality. I always kind of like that. The other thing on my list that I did was kind of something being on my bucket list. I did the Newport Bermuda race, 5 nights at sea, 10 guys at 45 degrees angle, extremely wet, in 41-foot boat.
And you live to tell the tale.
I live to tell the tale. It's one of those character-building exercises that we should all do and see whether we can survive and be friends at the end of it. But it was a great experience and a personal time.
So let's recap here. You witnessed the theft of the installation of a condom machine, the theft of an ATM. You
basically identified the theft, otherwise I might still be there.
That's right. You identified the identity of the Russian spy plane, swap plane, and you survived the Bermuda Newport race. You know what, Simon Cooper? I want your life. This is too much fun. Simon Cooper from the Ritz-Carlton, thanks for the report. We always love hearing from you, and we'll talk soon. When we come back, gourmet burgers. That's right. I'm not kidding.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is brought to you by
Travel Guard. Visit travelguard.com/unlucky. Tell us what makes you the world's unluckiest traveler, and you could win a $10,000 dream vacation. Brought to you by Travel Guard.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
52 minutes after the hour, we were just talking to Simon Cooper about the Russian spy swap plane, Visionaire from Las Vegas, taking these people to Vienna and then back to Moscow. And of course, the words KGB comes to mind. Well, guess what? How about this for a segue? Here's another KGB. It's right here in Las Vegas. It's probably one of the best gourmet burger places I've ever seen, and it's run by our next guest named Carrie. Carrie Simon, how are you, man?
Good. How you doing? Nice to be here.
Did you like that segue?
Oh, yeah, I did, totally.
Okay. It wasn't planned, by the way.
I got it.
It really wasn't planned. The other thing that I noticed when reading about the history of what you're doing over at Harris is that when you were with Kat Cora, mm-hmm. and who's a regular on our show,
right.
You beat her.
I did.
You beat her with a burger.
I did. I had the ultimate hamburger. It was what I did was I put. Do you want to hear that?
I do.
You do? Okay. So I had a brioche bun, and I had a burger that put in smoked bacon in it, and aged cheddar cheese, a tomato with. I made the ice cream for a shake and truffle French fries.
I'm in.
Yeah. So that's what the deal
was. You know what? I remember when Daniel Boulud did his ultimate, you know, expensive burger in New York because he had the foie gras in the middle of the burger.
Yeah.
It's not the foie gras. It's the smoked bacon.
Yeah. Because it makes it juicy when you bite into it. And also the trick is to make sure you seal it. It's a real hot surface so that the juices don't come out and they're safe for when you bite into it. Otherwise, they'll leak all over the bun.
In the old days when I used to live for burgers, I actually haven't had meat in a while. I've actually lost 68 pounds. So,
well, good
but
for
I
you.
Can always appreciate the burger mentality.
Yep.
My idea of a great burger was, and maybe you think I'm wrong, I'd order it rare, no bun, grilled onions.
But I kind of like the condiments too, you know.
Yeah.
That's my personal taste. So it's like, you know, like all those different, like In-N-Out and all that. You know, I love the way.
Well, In-N-Out Burger is known for the condiments.
Yeah.
That's, and you probably grew up with the In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah. Yeah, White Castle, and
now you're talking greasy.
Yeah, well, you know, that's when it comes down to it. I mean, you're talking a little bit of fat in a burger.
You better have fat in a burger.
Yeah, it's very important into the whole thing.
So this is sort of a brave new world for you now.
But I mean, you know, I came from making pizzas at Little Caesars, you know, so I know I'm kind of familiar with that world, but. I've done some Mexican stuff and some other smaller, some projects like this. So it was a great, you know, possibility for me.
So is the burger that you won with on your menu?
Yeah. Yeah. We do it with a 6-pack of sliders and we do them in a basket. Geez. Yeah.
You're killing me.
Yeah. Well, if you eat them all, I might.
Are you doing the truffle fries too?
We haven't got into that yet. We're still.
How about the duck frat fries?
Yeah. I don't know. See, I try to create a menu that everybody would enjoy, you know, not that I'm going to have a bunch of duck fat fries waiting for that one person.
But you would eat those.
I have eaten them, you know. Yeah. I'm a little healthier now. I'm more of a raw eater. I eat a lot of raw vegetables and seafood. But you're
serving the burgers.
And I eat a lot of burgers right now. So.
What's the most interesting, unusual burger on your menu?
We have a turkey burger that we do with stuffing, and we do it with cranberry sauce too, and it's really good. But the other one is we do this 4-cheese burger, and we let the cheese.
That's like a 4-cheese pizza.
Like a 4-cheese pizza. It's all different cheddar cheeses, and we let them cook on the flat top till they get really nice and caramelized, and then fold it over. So it's kind of a rich, cheesy one. But then another one pops into my head, and we have this barbecue bacon hamburger that we grill and put in barbecue sauce with bacon, and it's
you're really making me mad.
No,
I'm starting to. You can't see this on the radio,
yeah.
But it's the salivation starting here. It's true. I mean, it really is. Here's the thing. The fat content, it really makes a difference, though. I mean, it really does.
Yeah, I mean, you have to get, but it's not just fat, it's flavorful, you know, it has to all equal. Like, when I get into making burgers, what did they originally do when they made a burger? It's just a simple piece of ground meat, right? But not really. I mean, it was a choices picked meat, and so what we fooled around with was different prime fats and all that until we got our grind.
Till we got our grind.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's like Stella getting her groove back. You got the grind back.
Something like that, yeah.
Now, what about, you mentioned the shakes. So I got to ask you about the shakes.
Uh-huh.
Well, if I ordered a strawberry shake there,
yeah.
Are you making it from scratch?
Yeah. And we got Captain Crunch shakes, too. Yeah.
Dying here.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. We'll get to Captain Crunch in a second. What makes a great strawberry shake?
Well, I think, you know, it's all about flavor, you know. And, I mean, obviously you need good strawberries in it. And, you know, it's just...
But you're really doing it from scratch. It's the ice cream. It's the strawberries. What else? Do you put anything else in it?
We put in a little bit of cream and, you know, nothing.
As if the ice cream wasn't enough?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right. Captain Crunch. Tell me what is that?
Well, that we make a base with the... Well, I'm not going to tell you my secret. Jesus, but we do Captain Crunch.
That's what they say. Sugar's involved.
Sugar's involved, and it's Captain Crunch. I mean, it's like that. That's kind of the... Who doesn't... Like, you remember Captain Crunch. You're like a shake,
I remember Captain Crunch? I used to buy 12 boxes at a time, put them in my cabinet, and I'd eat it without the milk. I didn't need the milk.
Yeah.
I just ate Captain Crunch.
Yeah.
It got to the point where people thought I was, like, totally demented.
Yeah. Well,
I was, yeah. Yeah,
that's the deal. You got to have it, you know. And then we have malts, and I mean, they're all, so far everybody's really digging them. So
right,
and
I'm coming over.
Trio,
see, okay. I'm gonna come over and see you, not for the burger because I'm not eating the meat, but I'm definitely coming for the shake.
Okay,
is that a deal?
That's a deal.
But I'm gonna come for the strawberry shake.
Okay,
and let me do that?
Well, you can have a vegetarian burger too, you know.
No, I would never do
or
that.
Or salmon. We have some salmon too.
I'm happy you brought out the salmon, but you know what?
With caviar.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Gary Simon from Gary's Gourmet Burgers at Harris.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go for the shake. That music means we're out of time for this hour. For those stations sticking around, stay with us. We got a whole lot more coming on Peter Greenberg Worldwide from Guy Savoy's restaurant where they don't serve shakes. Trust me that. They don't serve them here. We'll be back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide from Caesar's Palace right after this.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com.